As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Liverpool's Royal Birkdale Golf Club hosts the 154th Open Championship this week.
At the 18th, Palmer would win the championship if he could hole out in one more putt. And like a born champion, he made no mistake.
This is an Open Championship Week edition of Dirt and Sprague with Andy Dirt Johnson and Brandon Sprague. Open Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com. Dirt and Sprague on The Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here. Good morning. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope your Tuesday evening was great. We talked about how boring the MLB All-Star game was. But nine-year-olds got to ride around on their bikes on the field, so that was cool.
The Ray Charles thing was cool. Other than that,
snooze fest of a game.
Snooze fest.
Dove into a little NFL and made fun of the ACC in a diarrhea segment. So yeah. It all kind of made sense, really.
Yeah, we did.
We'll dive into a whole lot more. I've been going through like all my show stuff as the summer has gone on.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I got like five or six things that I don't really feel are segments, but like I want to like throw out there.
They're not worth 20 minutes, but maybe they're worth 7 minutes.
Maybe less even. You know, some of the things not the most important, but I just write them down and jot them down for show notes.
Sure.
And I was thinking about this last week, and then I just did it yesterday as like a test case. Because in my house, when we'd get to the weekend, we might have cheesy hamburger helper. We might have leftover chicken, might have a burger patty, and maybe some pizza. And it would just collectively be in the fridge. And like what we would do is just make Saturday morning scrambles with leftovers.
Yeah, throw it all together, put it all into one thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do a thing I think now. I'm going to call it Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague.
I love it. Make me hungry at 7 o'clock in the morning.
We'll open up our little breakfast bistro.
Well, you might hear some whisking in the background here. Waitress taking an order every once in a while.
I'd like to put an order in for a Bloody Mary and an English muffin. That'd be great. Thank you.
If you could eat something right now, that's what you order?
I mean, I'd order more than that, but I'll keep it simple just so I can come quickly. I don't want to tie up the cook too long. An English muffin will be delightful.
You never want to come too quickly. I was thinking Spanish omelet. Or French toast sticks is where I'm mentally at right now.
Ooh, I love a good French toast stick.
I love French toast sticks.
I love French toast in general, whether it's stick or full
form. When I do French toast, it's all out. It's a production.
Yeah.
How much cleanup process is there for French toast for you if you're going all out?
How many dishes are we using?
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't do French toast.
Yeah. See, now you can do it simply. You just have one bowl
and
one pan. That's all. Theoretically, that's all you need.
Well, because we get the...
What else do you need?
You get the big stand mixer out to do the whipped cream from scratch.
Oh, no. See, so you're doing that.
You do a stand mixer? I don't even do a regular hand mixer.
I don't need whipped cream on my French toast. It's sweet enough to begin with.
Well, he's saying if he's going all out.
If we're doing everything.
You like whipped cream on your French toast, huh?
Yeah, because I spike it. Amaretto, Grand Marnier, whatever you want to do.
Why don't you just drink alcohol with your French
toast?
Just
take a shot of whiskey in the morning when you wake up.
I know. What
are
we doing there?
I don't need booze in my
poop. Try to make yourself feel better by putting it in whipped cream.
Oh, no.
We'll have, drinking a Diet Coke.
We'll have a breakfast cocktail at that point along with it, or spike the coffee, too.
You put nuts on your French toast?
I put slivered almonds.
Slivered almonds? Yeah. We're slicing almonds, or are you buying them slivered?
I'm buying them slivered.
Oh, okay, all right. I didn't know how fancy you
do that. Raspberries, blueberries, powdered sugar.
That's a lot. It's a lot going on here.
Boy, you do powdered sugar and whipped cream?
I said it's
that's
all out.
Why it comes out to play once in a while, doesn't it?
That's why you got so many dishes, man.
Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the Only Fan IPA, available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their Only Fan, so good, only The Fan, and Binary Brewing. can pull it off. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program here before we dive fully in. Want to remind you, we have audio coming up. Not so good news, I think, for the city of Portland.
Yeah, we might need a Bloody Mary with that news. Yeah.
I'll take a shot of whiskey, please.
Yeah, we'll collectively do that together. Let's start with yesterday's dealings and everything that transpired. We'll start with the World Cup.
That's the end here in Dallas. Spain, for the second time in their history, will play in the FIFA World Cup final.
A Spanish masterclass, total control, efficient, effective, and too much quality on the day.
John Strong and Stu Holden on the call, Fox Sports. Have you seen our friend Taylor Twellman? Is basically people think he is on the call,
dude,
so they're tweeting him as if he is Stu Holden. He's like, dude,
no.
I'm golfing.
I'm not kidding you. For the first 3 weeks of the World Cup, I thought it was him.
Taylor Twellman.
I had no idea. They sound identical.
Do
they not?
He's with ESPN.
They sound exactly alike.
Fox has the World Cup.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Let's talk like there's not crossover with broadcasters.
Yeah, who's the gal doing the pregame show?
Rebecca Lowe.
Where does she work?
And that was a specific loan
from
NBC Sports.
I have seen him respond because he was playing in the Tahoe thing last week, and he was like, I'm playing golf in Tahoe right now. Stop tweeting me, okay? That's not me. But I did spend the first 3 weeks of the World Cup thinking it was him calling games.
Spain going back to the World Cup final for the first time in 16 years.
Can we call that game out? That game sucked. I watched 75% of that game. That game sucked.
I watched 80% of it.
Soccer guys?
Yeah.
France sucked.
Okay.
Mbappe was pissed.
The game was over when it was
great.
When it was 2-0, the game was
Spain
over.
Played like, their not, brand of football.
They did.
France isn't scoring twice against Spain
that
at that point.
That was on France. France absolutely ate it.
I'm they not saying it's on one side or the other. I'm saying that game sucked.
Mbappe called out the manager.
I saw that. He didn't like their tactics.
Didier Deschamps.
And that guy's done now, right? Wasn't that his last match?
He's been there a while.
They've been saying that maybe this may be his last
my
run.
My guess is if Mbappe has whatever influence he has, it'll be utilized there.
Did Mbappe was he on the team when they won it 2 cups ago?
In 2018?
Yeah.
I don't believe he was.
So he does not have a cup?
Because he's like, what, 25?
He's a younger
isn't he? He's a little. He might have been a teenager on that team.
Okay.
I don't know if he started, but
whether
he might have been
on
the roster.
Are we doing this debate?
I think he's 27.
Okay. So that would have been 8 years ago, right?
Yeah, so he would have been 19. He could have been on it.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, because you can get some young cats on there. Did
he
play?
He was with the national team.
Did he play?
I'm sure he played some.
Did we get the credit?
He was the second teenager to score in a World Cup final.
Well, there you go.
That was probably his hello to America, to the world.
I just didn't know if we were doing the not clutch thing after losing the cup final and not getting back. I'm just trying to figure out.
I don't think anybody's doing that with
working,
him.
How's this working in soccer?
His idiot defender just, swinging a leg.
Dude, that second goal was such bad defense. I don't know anything about soccer, but that was horrendous.
Well, the first goal came on a penalty that was totally stupid. What are you doing?
That was when the first, 7-8 minutes?
That was 18th minute.
He had a goal pretty early, and it felt like, doesn't Spain not give any up? This thing's...
Yeah. No, once Spain gets a lead, you're in big trouble.
But France scored 2 goals in 6 minutes against Morocco. So
that
is
true.
There's the window in Mbappe being Mbappe.
I had it on, but I stopped watching closely when it was 2-0.
They will play the winner of today's match.
Yes.
Argentina and England. I'm looking forward to that one.
We're going to get a completely unbiased preview of that game coming up in the 8 o'clock hour.
Absolutely. We will definitely have a guest on at 8 a.m. who will call it right down the middle. Are Danny and Patrick live at it?
Yes, they are.
Goal
PDX today for the game this afternoon.
Noon.
So,
high noon.
Heckle them and watch the World Cup game to see who we get in the final.
Do you see what the Open Championship, by the way, is doing for Sunday if England wins today?
No.
They're kicking around the idea of moving the tee times around. Because
the
Championship is in England.
Yeah. Nobody's going to watch that.
Everybody's going to.
If England's in the final.
In the final. They haven't won a World Cup final since 67, right? Like,
yeah. Can I ask you a question?
They're already kicking around the idea of, like, what are we going to do if England's in the
final? If England
World
gets to the final and you're there and you have final round tickets, are you selling them to go watch the final of the World Cup? Because I think I would.
Am I an Englishman?
Yes.
I'm an Englishman.
You're a country boy.
Yeah.
I think I would. I think I would sell my tickets.
He's a real problem.
Because they're in the rotation for the Open. Now, it's not every time, but they get the pretty regular.
Yeah, there's only 7 or 8.
So they'll get another Open Championship soon.
Because when it's 17?
The irony would be an Englishman winning the Open
Championship.
Tommy Fleetwood winning the Open.
Major.
The English zone. And that him being in the leader going into Sunday, it's like, no, we got this guy, but that's Steve. I'm conflicted.
Moving on into the Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague.
Do I like it? I love it. First of all, they finally give the defensive players some credit for being one of the best players. This is a huge acknowledgement for everybody that votes for this particular award during the year.
That was Marcus Spears with Laura Rutledge in the beginning.
Do I like it?
Who's that? Whose sound is that at the start?
That's Laura Rutledge.
Is that Laura Rutledge?
Do I like it? Do I like it?
Maybe I need to watch NFL Today more often.
Yes, you need to watch NFL Live more often.
You need to get on the NFL Live train.
1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock. It's perfect. It's great.
Teddy should be down for a nap.
He is.
It's dead time.
I got to watch soccer right now, man. I don't got time in the afternoon. These bastards are making me watch soccer.
Miles Garrett, the announcement there was Miles Garrett has won NFL Player of the Year for the ESPYs, which is tonight, but they announced an award that won't be on the show yesterday.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why is the player of the year in the NFL not an award we give out at the ESPYs? It's the most popular sport in America, and he's the best player in the sport?
Well, maybe they're not there. They're reporting to – I don't know.
Okay.
Who knows?
Interesting follow. I don't have any issue with it.
Did you see the report? I don't think I sent Swag the audio, but I pulled it. Aaron Donald
is back –
Maybe Schefter's saying he thinks he's back.
He's working out at the facility.
More smoke.
He's testing his body, is what Schefter said. Yeah. He goes, but if I'm to make a guess based on what I've heard,
he's gonna play.
He's definitely gonna play.
He's gonna play.
Aaron Donald and Miles Garrett Brock
back
Purdy's
on that
D-line.
Their only
Donald
issue
can just be like pass. You know, he can pick and choose.
Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy, whoever is quarterback for the Cardinals, you're all gonna die.
Good luck, everybody.
What
good luck.
Are we doing?
Jacoby Brissett, have fun with that. Is he the starter in Arizona right now? I think he is, technically.
I don't think he's agreed to a contract.
No,
he's
that's right.
Out.
He has. That's right. Yeah, he wants starter money.
If Carson Beck, I'm out. I'm commanding a lot more money.
I mean, their only issue was defense last year. Their offense is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL. Now you've added a Hall of Famer in Miles Garrett. Like, yeah, that's a pretty good offseason. Oh, by the way, McDuffie in the secondary, too. Not bad, Rams.
It just feels like cheating to me.
It does.
Sticking in the NFL, we heard this yesterday.
It's dudes who have to line up in pads on Sundays and Thursdays and Wednesdays and Fridays and whatever the hell other days that we're going to see NFL games this year to not understand how scary it is to walk on the field when this dude is right. And ain't that much changed in 1 year. We're coming off of a year where it was basically one of the best quarterback years we had ever seen, where Josh Allen actually wins the MVP and he's the first team all-pro quarterback. It's not just disrespectful, it's almost stupid that he is ranked so low. And I don't know if he cares about it at all, but this says a lot about this league and how quickly we forget what Lamar Jackson has accomplished.
There's Ryan Clark. Lamar Jackson in the NFL top 100 players list voted on by the players was second last year. He's 69th this year.
Wow, the mighty have fallen.
67 spots, according to the NFL players.
I don't quite understand that one, man. I don't get it. Where did Joe Burrow come in on the rankings of NFL players?
Great question.
Because that would be my immediate retort of, if one has fallen, why has the other one not fallen? Because two of the last 3 years, Joe Burrow has not been available, and that's why we debated him yesterday in the ranking of NFL
is
quarterbacks.
Is this going to be an all-time
NFL I don't know if we have it yet,
tour
by the way.
I mean, it could
Lamar.
Be. Yeah, maybe we don't know the full
coach,
list yet.
A new life there.
Yeah, man, it's a fresh start. They've been looking for that for a while, and we all know what he's capable of when he's healthy. Of course,
who's
he's got to stay
OC
healthy.
Now?
But that is a great question. It's not Todd Monken, obviously. Let's see.
Oh, you're going to say it, and we're all going to go.
Declan Doyle.
Oh,
yeah.
That's okay.
Not at all what I was going to react to at all.
He was the offensive coordinator for the Bears last season.
I don't believe Joe Burrow has been named yet, which means he will be
higher than Lamar Jackson. Yeah. And I personally think Burrow's a better quarterback, but if you're going to knock him that far down because of injuries, you got to be fair on both sides of it, and neither guy has been able to stay healthy.
We had this in college football. It's been brewing for a couple days now, and this is from Adam Rittenberg.
This is always going to be a sought-after job. It's one of the most recognizable brands in American sports. It's an incredible university, an athletic department that's won championships in multiple sports and had success both on the men's and women's side. So it's incredibly appealing, great place to live. So it's not going to be a problem for them to get candidates, but I do think the cleanup part, you know, has to be front and center.
That's Adam Rittenberg on ESPN Radio. The Board of Regents at Michigan are investigating Ward Manuel from everything that's transpired with Sharon Moore And the
don't forget the sign stealing.
The sign stealing, obviously. The report from the Wall Street Journal, I saw this from Rachel Bachman, says that he knew about the staffer and Moore a year ago and actually had to advise Sharon Moore, don't take her on team road trips.
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And then everything happened. So many, like, I don't know where it's at today. Ward Manuel did some stuff, and he's like, I love being the AD. I want to be the AD, which, duh.
He's doing the Leo, I'm not leaving.
Yeah, I don't want to leave.
I wouldn't want to leave either.
It sounds like they might run him out as the athletic director of Michigan.
You know, here's the tough part. As we know in all sports, no matter how controversial you may or may not be, what have they won championships in the last 5 years?
Basketball and football.
The two most important college sports. Hired the coaches? Actually, I don't know if he hired Harbaugh.
I don't know if he hired
Harbaugh. He decided to keep Harbaugh, which then they win a championship. He did hire Dusty May, who led to a championship. Yep. And that's where this gets slippery for Michigan, is the guys won. There's no other team, right, that's won in football and men's basketball. We've had, obviously, champions in both. But
Jim Hackett hired Jim Harbaugh in 2014.
But they did consider firing Harbaugh when things were kind of off the skids a little bit, and he stood by him and made him take a pay cut, and he ended up winning a national championship out of it. How this guy, though, from a controversy standpoint and an ethics standpoint, still has a job is ridiculous. There is more evidence coming out from the sign stealing as well. They hired a law firm to dig into all this. The billable hours thing is hilarious to look at how much money Michigan has spent on it. Basically, that they were advising employees to delete text messages during the sign stealing saga before meeting with NCAA investigators. You mentioned the point of Sharon Moore and the gal that accused him, rightfully so, saying that over a year ago that you need to separate, you can't be around her and team functions and all this. Like, all of this was well known behind the scenes. He should absolutely be fired. They're just having a hard time with it because they've won two big championships in the last 3 years.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on that one. MLB All-Star Game was last night. The AL won their eighth out of their last 10 against the NL. They won 4-0. Cody Bellinger was named the MVP of the game. New York Yankees' very own. This is from a former friend of the state who was asked about the American League in the second half of things.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's open and teams kind of going back and forth right now. We had a couple good series against the White Sox where it felt like every game came down to one run. And they're obviously in the Central with us in the hunt. And then, you know, across the there's a big fight throughout. So, I mean, Rangers, Astros, you know, Athletics strong, and then the Rays and the Yankees obviously are leading the way, kind of playing great baseball. So it's an open race, I think. It's interesting to see how it'll play out.
That is Travis Bazzana, the second baseman for Cleveland, former Beav, on the AL being wide open. 3.5 games, Dirt, separate the 44-52 Tigers from the Twins and Mariners for the last wild card spot. 44-52, and you're 3 games back of the last wild card spot with the entire second half to play.
Yeah, I don't know if this exists in the National League, but I will say it's one of the reasons why I think a lot of us were advocates for expanding the playoff, is that in traditional years, you go back to, hell, prior to the one-game playoff, you'd only have 4 playoff teams in the American League and National League, and that was it. And even when you had the one-game playoff, it was 5. If that's all that you had, how many teams seemingly feel eliminated at this point without a lot of hope going into the second half? The trade deadline's right around the corner, but to that point, you have more spots available. Everybody's kind of evened out. The best record in the American League is 56 wins. Not that there's that big of a difference, but you have multiple teams in the NL with more wins than that, and so everybody seems to be alive and feels alive, and that's going to dictate how you interact as a fan, how much you follow, how much you pay, how much you watch, and all of that, and so it's a great thing for baseball to have that much parity in one league.
And finally here on the Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, as we go around the world of sports, we had this yesterday at NBA Summer League in regards to Portland, an arena deal, and here's the commissioner of the NBA.
Spend time with Tom and his partners here in Las Vegas, and what we are most focused on right now, the league office, is the deal that we discussed when we were in Portland in March. I was hoping more progress would have been made by now on that agreement, and it seems to have gone off track in various ways. And so I have a colleague, Joe Masco, who's day-to-day on it, but we're working with both sides to ensure that the Trailblazers can have a long-term future in Portland, but there are several open issues that still need to be resolved.
Not, I think, an answer Blazer fan wants to hear in the midst of the city council doing God knows what and an absolute cheap, kind of slimy dude who operates in his own world of how he wants to do things, having a bit of a battle right now with arena renovation funding.
Check, please. I'm ready to go home. I'm done. My French toast sticks are gone.
Let's do that.
This is depressing.
Our plates are clear.
Give me my check. I want my check. I want to go home. Or give me another shot. One or the other.
The table's been bust.
I can't give you more coffee.
I want no more coffee.
Let's get up. Let's talk about this coming up next. Not a great answer there from Adam Silver. If you missed it, I might replay it on the other side. Where things sit, it doesn't seem like they sit in a good spot, according to the commissioner of the league. We'll get to that. Hour two rolls on. Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. 728 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. We just did Cafe de Dirt and Sprague, and at the end of it, we played Adam Silver, who yesterday had a Board of Governors meeting. We have some updates on some other non-Portland dealings we can get to.
You got the Clippers stuff. You got the Vegas and Seattle expansion fronts. There's a lot going on in the NBA right now.
How about the groundbreaking report that there might be another company Kawhi Leonard was getting money from? Pablo Torre evidently missed one, so... We got to continue to wait on that investigation.
Another one.
Expansion talk. Sounds like Vegas is a little more ahead on the bidding process than Seattle, but I think he still remained pretty optimistic about the idea of getting teams in Vegas and in Seattle.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Now, he's either saying Vegas is a hotter spot for people, or he's reserving the right for the Portland Trailblazers to become the Seattle Supersonics, because I did not find this particularly very settling as somebody living in Portland watching the city council battle Tom Dundon on funding for the arena renovation.
Spend time with Tom and his partners here in Las Vegas, and what we are most focused on right now, the league office, is the deal that we discussed when we were in Portland in March. I was hoping more progress would have been made by now on that agreement, and it seems to have gone off track in various ways. And so I have a colleague, Joe Masco, who's day-to-day on it, but we're working with both sides to ensure that the Trailblazers can have a long-term future in Portland. But there are several open issues that still need to be resolved.
So... not a great answer, I think, if you're looking at this from our lens, because we've sat here the whole time, and look, we'll get to all of it, but him basically, and you can say he's a shill for the ownerships. You're not wrong.
That's his job.
That's literally what he's hired to do.
That's literally what the commissioner's job is.
But he also is telling you, like, what are you guys doing over there is what how I hear that. Now, this is the OPB report. They had this about a day and a half ago. The deadline to commit public dollars to Moda Center renovations rapidly approaches. It appears the Portland City Councilors will be asked to approve the spending of $120 million on the arena renovation next month without knowing where the money will come from in the city budget. According to city officials, that's because the Trailblazers have yet to share details of the renovation plans they have in mind for the Moda Centers. The Blazers have said on their end they need the city to commit to funding before they'll share designs.
We basically have a standoff of one side saying, how are we going to show you what we're going to build without knowing what our source of revenue and where the investment's coming? Like, how much money are we getting? And the other side saying, we can't approve that funding unless you show us what you're going to build. And we have a very stupid game of chicken playing out right now. And the reason that we're going to have to ask them potentially to vote in August, because that's coming up in August. The city council is supposed to enter into the agreement to start discussing and contemplating the lease agreement and all of that and the funding. That's when that process begins, is that we're still waiting on, if you remember, there's the environmental, you know, I can't remember what the name of
the
it is.
The environmental fund, yeah.
The environmental fund, and then there's another fund. So the Portland Clean Energy Fund is one of them, yep. And then the Prosper Portland Fund, which is the city's economic development borough. And those are the two entities that are supposed to be currently debating whether or not you will get money from those funds, who are saying, we need to see your plans in order to approve this funding. And the Blazers are saying, we don't have plans until we know what the funding looks like. And that's where the game of chicken comes in. Because if those don't get approved, then you go to August without the city council knowing and having to vote on the idea of where's this money coming from and how much is the city actually going to be on the hook for.
How did that answer from Silverland with you?
There's a mixed bag with this, right? Like, on the one hand, I'm not surprised by it. I think we've all kind of looked at the situation, and there's been some that we've talked to in the city who have said, guys, there's a process, it's playing out, but then you point to an OPB article, and the criticisms that are 100% fair of the Blazers not really playing ball in this game right now. They're just kind of saying, you guys figure this out, we'll take it from there, give us our money. And there needs to be a relationship here. There needs to be a back and forth in lines of communication. And there do not seem to be right now. And that's frustrating. But on the end of it, like, I'm not letting this go to DEFCON, whatever the highest level is yet, because this is
it one or three? I always forget.
I think the lower number is the bigger DEFCON, but I always forget. We always do. Yeah, correct. Swag saying yeah.
The swag, no.
I don't know. This is the
yeah,
next.
DEFCON 1 is the worst.
Okay. So what does it go through? 1 through 5?
1 through 5.
I'd say we're at DEFCON 3 right now.
Where were you at before the answer?
4.
So you moved up a DEFCON.
I was always a DEFCON. Like, I couldn't say 5. No threat at all.
I think it always has to be in the top 4.
It has to be 4. Yeah. And now this comment has pushed it down to a 3 for me, because this is the public negotiation that will take place from the Blazers and the NBA side. Their leverage in this debate is the open-ended nature of the team could move to a different city. That is their leverage in discussing it with the city. And so it doesn't behoove Adam Silver to come out and say,
you will cripple the city if you lose the team.
Yes, and that's their leverage, and they know that's their leverage. And so you haven't had a lot of movement on it. Dundon's in Vegas. He's talking to Adam Silver about this. And so he gets asked a question. Shout out to Sean Hyken for being there and asking the question about it. Because if he's not there, I don't know if anybody nationally is going to ask about this. And I'm not surprised that Adam Silver responded with that. And hopefully it's a bit of a wake-up call for people in this city to get their ducks in a row and say, this is a realistic threat. We've all acknowledged it's a realistic threat. If you don't pass the funding, now it's our time to act.
So very interesting in thinking about how all of this has kind of played out. I will say, like, and I'm just giving you what I've heard, because you talk to people and you've talked to people in the political world. You're a little more connected to that than I. I don't want to ever be really that connected to it. And I've appreciated people that have come on the station on the two shows. That being said, man, I want to be fair here on this. I was told that one of the, you know, many people Tom Dundon fired in their layoffs was the person operating as basically the spokesperson for the Blazers with the city.
Yes, that is 100% true.
And now what reports are you getting? We're not really hearing from them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, there's Tom Dundon being cheap with layoffs. That hurts.
Absolutely it does.
And so I don't want to absolve Tom Dundon of any of this. He has been shrewd. He's been in no way very excited about, I think, being in Portland. But I've looked at that as just like a guy that just cares about the sport thing. He's not from here. He'll never move here.
He cares about making money.
He cares about making money and winning, right? Like, those are the two driving forces. So I've never really put a lot of stock in the whole, like, he's not showing the passion and fire for Portland. It's like, dude, do you understand how there's like maybe two human beings in the world that can maybe show that passion as an owner of the Blazers? That being said, man, like, you want the money and you should get it because the city owns the building. They haven't renovated it at all in 30 years.
No.
It was gifted to you for a freaking dollar. You got to communicate with city officials.
Yeah, there has to be a back and forth.
Let me just get in the front end of this. As an organization who wants a lot of money, you have to have a communication. I tend to agree on this one aspect from them. Why do you need to see my designs? OK, Okay.
Like, well, I think it's because specifically of where the funds are coming from. So in one case, it is the Portland Clean Energy Fund.
Sure.
And if you're using money from that fund, it's in the law of the fund that money has to be used towards, we can all
fair
guess,
rebuttal,
green energy changes.
You should be communicating with city officials. That here's being said, here's my other stance. Vote on this tomorrow and approve the funding so we can get this forward and find out if they're staying or leaving. You want to really press them and get this done?
Yeah.
You want to sign the lease the fastest way? And they're going to wait till August, which I think, based on that, it's only a couple weeks, but it feels like...
The tough part is that's always been the timeline, and that's the confusing part
to
me here.
Is.
Like, everybody in the city that I've talked to has said, like, guys, take a deep breath. There is a process. This is how the entire process was always going to play out.
Sure.
Now, maybe we were hoping the Energy Fund and the Portland Prosper Fund would have already approved the money, and that's what the league is waiting on, and that's the step that's been, we've gotten off the tracks.
Okay.
But in the city council vote and debate and opening up a MOU to discuss the lease agreement, that was always going to happen in August.
But I also don't think that they expected the organization in Dundon to play exactly how they've played it, which is barely communicate, not really care at all.
Yeah.
They had that big get together at the Moda Center a couple weeks ago, and he had one of the shortest stints as a speaker, could not have looked less interested, I thought, in what we saw from it. So the agreement part, now this is where the city, I think the city, you know, dabbling in this whole like bait and switch. I was talking with somebody yesterday who was taking the city side, and it was like, imagine your best friend tells you this, this, and this, and then they don't do it. And I said, I fundamentally disagree with that comp. To me, it's like, imagine you bought a house, you got into a back and forth bid with the owner, you come to an agreement, and they agree to cover closing. And 2 weeks later, you're notified that they suddenly don't want to cover closing. And now you're stuck in this weird in-between of negotiation.
Like, wait a minute, I got to pay for this?
Based on what we heard when he bought the team, based on what we heard from Adam Silver, based on what we heard from Dan Ryan and Keith Wilson, it sounds like when they came here in March with Silver and his collective and Tom Dundon.
They were all here.
And talked with city officials, it sounds like there was an agreed-upon situation.
A framework of a deal in place.
But if you followed Keith Wilson, it feels like the city council has kind of been a thorn in the side of this set-upon agreement.
Yeah.
And I don't think Tom Dundon hasn't noticed that. And so now we're sitting in a weird spot of guy that doesn't really care about our city, and now you've bait and switched him a little bit, paired with these not communicating, which is terrible, paired with city council members that haven't even seen, by the way, the full rollout of what the funding would mean and do and how it's all...
Because we don't know where the money's coming from because we're waiting on these two vehicles. Yeah,
they're lining up with protesters and saying,
it's ridiculous.
Done with billionaires. Like, everybody in the situation has been stupid and continues to be stupid. But from the city side, you're leveraged. Your city is in not great shape.
Nope.
There's lease signs everywhere. And I love this city. And you've got a guy that has not a single ounce of emotional attachment to the history, to the city, to the state. And he thought he was getting something. He got here, and now he's finding out that he's got to wait, or he's hearing like speculation about what it is and should they do it and how we're splitting the funding revenue. And, like, all of this stuff, it sucks. And so I don't know what DEFCON I'm at. I'm not going to one here. But I would like them to pass this funding so we can move this thing along and be like, all right, if he's been planning to move it the whole time and the people that are saying he's Clay Bennett 2.0.
Here's the funding, sign the lease, and he won't sign the lease, then by all means,
you
are right.
It.
Yes.
And Adam Silver's going to have a lot to answer for if that happens,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, he will.
Because he will now be the commissioner of a second organization to be relocating. But this whole, like, toying with protesting and calling him out, it's just been nothing but a negative...
Yeah.
Like media climate since he bought the team.
Yeah, it's been very. I don't think
funding to how he runs an operation is negative, negative, negative. And we've got city council members now that are making people, I think, feel very uneasy about where this whole thing is going.
I will remain, although it has definitely taken some hits and some bumps and bruises, optimistic that deadlines spur action. And the closer we get to this and the more realistic the threat actually becomes, the more alarming it becomes inside City Hall, and they say, do you realize the blood that will be on your hands if you do not approve this? It's one thing to go out on a campaign trail and say something for a video on Instagram. The president of the United States ran on releasing the Epstein files. How did that go when he got elected, right?
Like, yeah, a lot of people
run on topics that are very attractive to their voter base, but when push comes to shove, will change course of action because of whatever interest they may or may not have. Mm-hmm. And so the campaigning I knew was going to happen. I remain steadfast in the opinion that I think at some point a deal will get reached and we'll find out that we've come to a conclusion on this. But in the meantime, it does not mean that things will not be uncomfortable and hairy, and you're going to get quotes like this. You're going to start to get some of this debated publicly, anonymous sources from Dundon side or the NBA side or the city side.
Well, like, you're getting it from the city side right now,
yes,
with these stories.
It's not going to go away for a while, and so buckle up. But I'm remaining hopeful that an agreement will be reached.
So you're DEFCON?
DEFCON 3.
You're 3.
I'm 3.
Okay, I'll put a poll question up. What DEFCON are you at with the Blazers being uprooted and relocated, given everything going on with the city, Tom Dunnan, et cetera? Not a great answer from Adam Silver. You can chime in at the fan text line, 503-864-6326. Put up a poll question about that. Blazer coverage on the fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years. Guaranteed. Xfinity. Imagine that. Back with more on the fan.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're going to talk a little World Cup at 8:05 today with an Englishman. Wonder who he's rooting for.
He's a big Argentina guy.
Is he?
He's a big Messi fan. I mean, how could you not be, you know?
I guess South America's rooting against Argentina, too.
Really? The rest of the...
I think they're kind of the enemy of this match today. I think a lot of people are rooting for England.
Is that how it works, huh?
The last World Cup. Yeah. England's gone through a huge dry spell here.
It's been
Harry
a long time.
Kane's a great story. Yeah, I think England is the one people are rooting for. I also, am I wrong on this, Swag? Isn't England the favorite here? I thought they were the underdog.
They're the favorite in the game today?
England is a very slight favorite.
Yeah, that was a little surprising.
I'm rooting for England to win the whole thing. Mm. Spain,
they're
whatever.
They're currently minus 120, Argentina even money.
Okay.
How wild would all of this be if this really happened to us, by the way?
The Blazers moving town?
I mean,
I don't know if wild's the word that I would use.
I mean,
just it would be utterly depressing.
No, I know that, but like just the idea of that being real.
I mean, you have to have the thought in the back of your head at times because we can't. It people who have seen what's happened in San Diego and Oakland and I mean Seattle obviously years ago with the Sonics, like it has happened. Teams move town. St. Louis with the Rams, like this happens in professional sports. There's a part of it that it's been floated out as a cry wolf scenario from reporters for so long. That I think that some of us became numb and immune to it. Of like, you've cried this so many times. Of what? Come on, man, we're doing this again.
But I think the NBA needs to take some cover for Dundon and go on the offensives. Like this is the deal. We sat down with these people. This was specifically. Yeah.
I don't think they want to.
Here's
get
the tough
into
part
that
with
yet.
That because I keep hearing that and I've seen that. Our buddy Wright Gazaway, who's been great at covering this, and we had him on a couple weeks ago at K2. He found the letter and the responses that were sent from council members and all that inside the city and the mayor. They came up with the idea of a framework, but it was never officially agreed to, and at no point did they ever have the majority of the city council members say in that agreement in March that we will vote for this. It was just a general funding, like, let's have a good start to this relationship, but they could not get the majority of council members at the time to sign off it. So there was an agreement, but it also was nothing that was any way, shape, or form official.
I'd like to see
that's
the
league.
Here. I think the league continuing to talk about it to create urgency for them to actually get it figured out. Because if like you said, the back and forth between the Dundon camp, which really isn't saying anything, and city council members, you know, with sound bites, I think the real urgency would come from more comments like that from Adam Silver.
Yes. Their leverage
like,
in this
oh, my God, they're...
Right.
They're serious.
Well, he needs to. I mean, I know he said it. He's got a guy that he said is monitoring the situation day to day. But like
Jim or Joe or Jeff, what was his name?
Joe. You do not want to be. You don't want this on your legacy, man.
No.
Like,
no.
Think whatever you want to think about the city of Portland right now and the Blazers ever winning a championship. Ha ha ha. Yeah, right. Like, it's such a old franchise in terms of getting here in the 70s.
Yeah.
Having the success that they had of winning a title pretty quickly for an expansion franchise, then coming back to the forefront in the mid to late 80s, early 90s, and then reinventing themselves with a different rendition in the mid to late 90s, early 2000s. Like, we've just gone through these waves where we haven't won much, but we've been a pretty stable, really high operating franchise for so long. Silver cannot want this on the legacy.
No.
No.
But also, I understand, like, we're kind of at a point now financially, I think, in this country where people are doing stupid things because it's the only way to make more money. Mm-hmm. Instead of just saying what's good. Like, we're going to have Mark Hamilton on. He's one of our longtime employees at the radio station. He runs
he
a couple
stations.
He might
be the longest tenured employee. Is he the longest tenured employee we have?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he's going to talk a little. I want to ask him about how soccer stadiums are built in different parts of England, these Premier League soccer stadiums where they get rid of one and they build another. Do they debate this the way we do? Or is it, we're going to pay for this and sorry, we're going to build it here? Like Manchester City, for example, built a new stadium. This year, this coming season, they're offering thousands and thousands of tickets to their matches for $10 for the people that live around the stadium and can't afford tickets. Mm. Like, they care about fans while still operating and making a ton of money.
Right.
And so I just can't imagine Silver would want this on his legacy. No matter what Tom Dundon's wishes are, Adam Silver needs to step in here, and he really needs to put a foot down. The city council needs to get their head out of the you-know-what. We need to approve the funding. But the commissioner of the league also is pretty responsible for a lot of this. Stern was in the Seattle to Oklahoma City stuff. Silver needs to step in here. And I know people make fun of him for not having a spine. But like we also just know he said it. He does not want to watch another team leave.
Yep.
So like I'm probably DEFCON 4 still, despite hating that answer and not liking that the team's not communicating. But Silver needs to step in here and really grab a hold of this thing and get this through the finish line so we can be done with this topic.
Yeah, there needs to be a communication open up with the city for them to quickly realize what we all know and what we all, anybody with a brain looking at the situation can tell you, that the city has no leverage. None. I don't think Tom Dundon bought the Blazers with the idea he wants to move the team. I don't think Adam Silver wants the Blazers to move town. But if you play this game long enough, you will eventually force somebody's hand, right? And that is the reality that, unfortunately, our city is faced with. Whether it's a deal we like that is worker-friendly or has private investment or not, like, what matters is deal or no deal. That's the only game that we're playing right now. And when you have no leverage on the side of the negotiating table, it's a very difficult place to stand. And that's, I think, what Portland is fighting against, people in the council, the Clean Energy Fund, and all that. That's the reality that we got to live in. So it either matters to you or it doesn't. It's a deal or a no deal. We have zero leverage on our side. The NBA and Tom Dundon have all of it. They can move the team if they want to. They can relocate if they want to, if the funding package is not where they need it to be and it's not improved and this continues to drag out. And so the quicker we realize that, the quicker the better. And maybe that's the NBA coming in and Adam Silver walking into that, you know, city council debate and saying, guys, do you want a team or not? It's that simple. They're moving if you don't pass this funding. We just got to get that through our head sooner than later.
Loaded third hour of the radio program. Poll question up. What DEFCON are you at? 4, 3, 2, or 1? You can vote at Dirt and Sprague. Loaded third hour. We got Statter Story in the fourth hour of the radio program. Kick it off. We got England and Argentina in the semifinal of the World Cup today. Should be a great match. And we got a guest to talk about the English side of this. Loaded third hour, Dirt and Sprague, 105.1, The Fan.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.